All right, so Mom, I'm on with my brothers, and let's talk about what we studied in those verses from Philemon, from, what is that, 11 to 16. What say you, brothers? We finally got to the heart of the story, didn't we?
Yeah, you covered it in a lot of depth. You didn't leave a lot for us. Maybe one thing that jumped out at me was verse 14, where he says, without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. It's a good thought that, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Which is kind of, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So it's just, it's interesting. Paul shows respect for his brother in basically saying that, like, I would have kept him so he could minister to me in your stead, but I'm gonna send him back because I want to ask you so that you're not giving him to me, so to speak, with necessity.
Yeah.
But that it's willingly, and then, so I know, it's a good thought about, it sparked a lot of good thoughts in my head about, you know, we have to be cheerful givers, willing givers. It's more blessed to give than to receive, you know?
Amen.
The Lord was a giver, not a taker, wasn't he?
Yeah, amen.
He gave everything for us in the same way. When we love others, we give to them. Love is about giving, not taking.
Yep, very true. Very true. What say you, brothers?
I'll let Brother Akuo find some things. In verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. For some reason, I just started thinking about Genesis and Joseph. But as for you, you saw evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive.
I was going to put that verse in there. You and I must think alike. I had it in my notes and I didn't add it. That's a great verse.
Yes, basically how God can go ahead and use things we shouldn't do for our benefit. Only he can do that. We can't ever do that.
Right.
He can.
Yeah, Paul never would have recommended this slave to do whatever he did to his owner. I'm assuming that he stole from him, because Paul says, whatever he owes, put it on my account. So he must have stole or did damage or something. Paul never would have recommended him leave. He did say, if you're a slave and you can get free, get free. That didn't mean break the law, I don't believe. It would be buy your freedom. But, yeah, it all worked out for the good, and Paul was trying to bring redemption to it all.
Yep, that's Romans 8:28.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. What say you? What say you, Brother Kuo? Or are you still going, Brother Purgos?
I also saw something in verse 16. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. But how much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? I love that duality, the flesh and the spirit. We're born in the flesh. And Brother Akuo just did some insightful work on being born again. So I was thinking of Romans 7:25 and Romans 8:1. If you give me a second to read those. Sorry, I just lost my place.
That's okay, brother. We'll wait for you. You're worth waiting for.
Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. You can only sell your physical body into bondage. You can only become a spiritual slave. Let me take that back. You should only ever become a spiritual slave of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Great point.
Also, another thought that came to mind. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. When you were going through talking about the forgiveness of debts, that came up. The great equalization, death, final judgment.
Yeah.
You had also mentioned about Paul being an advocate for this man and how it's a rough shadow of us in Christ. And that made me think of 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I also like how in other writings Paul talks about how he imputes his life to the people that he cares for more than just the gospel. He definitely takes the go the extra mile from the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. Have you thought often how Christ expects us to do many of the things he did, and those are all like archetypes or examples of what he did? Like, we're supposed to lay down our lives for each other. We're supposed to hold each other's arms up. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're supposed to pray for each other. I mean, just think about it. All the stuff we do is what he did for us. They're all archetypes of it, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the next time you feel like, oh, being in a body's a burden, if you ever feel that way, oh, more this and more that, and more correction, or I got rebuked, or I don't know, I gotta show up again and do this. If you ever feel that way, if your flesh ever feels that way, I'm sure it's not your spirit, man. It's your flesh that's gonna feel that way. Think about what Christ did for you. And I love that, how it talks about. That's why I read that whole parable. I mean, we don't want to be that guy, huh? He gets forgiven a whole bunch of money, and then he quickly forgets and goes and grabs a guy by the throat for some pittance. We don't want to be that way. I know what Christ has forgiven me for, and my wife, Sister Amin, we were the worst that you could imagine. Man, how can I not forgive people for much, much less? What a hypocrite I would be, huh? Brother Kuo, what say you?
So I really enjoyed what you guys have been saying. I really love the part of the story where he says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever." It's kind of like the whole idea of lean not on your own understanding. Like, you're not supposed to trust in your own wisdom, because you don't know what God has planned for people. You may say, well, this person is unredeemable, this person's just doing this, that, and the other thing, but you're supposed to trust the Lord. And I just found that really cool. And then verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. The verse that came to mind for me was 1 Timothy 4:8. And that talks about being profitable. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So I like that, how he wasn't profitable, but now that he is a servant of Christ, he's profitable to thee and to me, Paul says. So it's just that idea that he's striving for godliness now, he's profitable for all of the brethren in the faith. So I like that as well. Those are the two main things that really stuck out to me.
When you read that verse about the verse you just read, it made me think of this verse. You read it from 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We were talking about this. Who was I talking about this with? Either you, brothers, or someone else. Might have been someone else. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. So it's important for us to understand, you know, if you want to have a happy, joyous life in Christ, be content. Learn to be content with whatever you have, where you are, as long as it's not in sin, and what you're doing. Learn to be content. That is a great, great, great stabilizing factor in your life. If you have discontent, you're never going to be satisfied or happy, even in the Lord. You're always going to find a way to grumble, complain, moan like the Israelites. So if we can find a way to be thankful and be content, we're going to find a really good, joyous, stable place in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Look at anything you grumble about. My job, my situation, I got a bunch of stuff I got to do, affairs of this life, of this world. Yeah, so what? None of it matters when it comes to eternity. And it's all going to be powder and dust soon, including you. So it's good to keep that eternal perspective. We talked about that when we talked about being born again. Brother Zelos, you look like you have a thought on your mind.
Yeah, this is actually really interesting. A brother beloved, especially to me. And so I was looking that up. And it's actually quite interesting. Beloved, it means dearly beloved, favorite, worthy of love. Really interesting. So in the New Testament, in the Gospels, it is only used of Christ. Thou art my beloved son. It's always talking about Christ, the beloved of the Father. After the Gospels and Christ crucified, it starts being used for the saints, and it's always only used for the saints, or it refers back to Christ, the beloved Son.
Why do you think that is?
Because the love of God was in Christ, through Christ, and because we are in Christ, we are the beloved of God. It's just an awesome thought. And because we are in Christ, we are also beloved one of another.
Yeah, it's because the Holy Spirit of God is in us, so we're beloved. We have favor. There's your grace. It's not that unmerited and unconditional, but we have favor, and then, yeah, that's why we get that. It's all because of Him and of Him. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, the love of the brethren, and I know it was just that thought. If you look it up, do a word study on it, it's a word search on it quick. It's actually quite edifying. It refers to Christ, who the Father sent as beloved, all throughout the Gospels. And then when you get to Acts in the Epistle, it's referred to the saints who are beloved.
Yeah.
And the saints, we know, we just did a study, are those who have been born again through the Spirit of God, and they've become the sons of God.
Amen.
The word outside of Christ is only the wrath of God, but in Christ we're the beloved. And as fellow heirs in the kingdom of God, we're also beloved and we love one another. As Peter says, we love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Yeah.
So, and that was just another thought I had.
And look at your brothers and sisters, ready? I know this is so fundamental and so rudimentary, but maybe you haven't thought about this lately. Look at the people that God's put in your life to care for. They're not just brothers and sisters in Christ, ready? They're children of God. God's children. You have God's children to look after and to edify and to take care of and to care about. God's children. That's pretty awesome. It's another level.
Yeah.
Another level. Yeah. Anything else on those verses 11 through 16?
Those were my thoughts. Nothing else is jumping out for now.
Anything else from you, brothers?
Nothing else from me.
Brother Purgos, you're the last man standing.
A comment on Brother Zelos' comment made me think of 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Yeah. Yeah. James says, what does James say? Love not in word, but in deed. Truth and deed. But I think also we love each other in word, especially when you're long distance. So you send kind words. Paul did. Look at all the love Paul poured out. He did it in deed, but he also used words, didn't he? He wrote it in letters. So you write it in emails, or we share it with people. I know the sisters are always doing it. So yeah, it's an awesome thing that God plays out, and it glorifies God. It's another great reason why we want to strive to do it. Not only just that we care for each other, but it ultimately glorifies our Father. And Christ, who shed his blood for these precious sheep that we get to look after. Should never be a burden to look after the sheep of God, right?
No, amen.
Amen. All right, brothers, we're going to leave it right there. This will be up with the verse-by-verse study to edify people in the Word of God. Thanks so much for your time.